All right, well, let's record this podcast. It's Friday. I woke up at 5 a.m. I've had a lot of food today, and I'm sleepy. So let's get this over with.
It's the enthusiasm that we like to bring.
This is better than this morning, so for you.
I had a lot of bacon, eggs, had a chocolate chip muffin. It was really good.
You drank a lot of apple juice this morning.
Did. I wish I had biscuits and gravy. I don't know why you just have eggs and bacon and no anything. Like, it's like you served a meal of sides. There was no main course. It's like if you just had corn and green beans.
Wait, is bacon not a main course?
No, not by itself.
This was all over at the Chamber Breakfast.
I was going to say, my breakfast begs to differ.
Yeah, we went to the Chamber Breakfast this morning, and it was really good. I don't know.
The most impressive part of the whole breakfast was whoever was playing trombone this morning. It was top notch.
I did hear some sliding trombone this morning. I wonder who that could have been.
I don't know.
Yeah. So the two middle schools were asked to come and play, and I don't know why each school chooses to do the way they had done. So Henry School at Robinson chose to send a quintet of brass. So five Robinson kids, Henry playing the trombone, represented Robinson. I thought they played really well.
They did.
Sevier brought their entire brass section. And so because they were on either side of the stage, independently, they both sounded great. If I'm being honest, the battle of the bands probably was won by Sevier just because it was so much more. I mean, they had like four tubas / sousaphones versus one, you know, so it was more impactful. But, you know, I thought they put a lot of work into that. So, I thought it sounded good.
I waved at Henry, and Henry just looked at me like I was a crazy person, and the kid beside of him waved back.
Was it that nervous wave back of, I think he's waving?
I think he's waving at me. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah. I was like, who's this creepy guy waving at me?
No, they did really well.
It's real funny. I watched the playback because the Chamber did a Facebook Live.
Okay.
And
yeah, so go check that out if
yeah. I watched the playback because Stephanie had started recording when the kids started playing before a lot of folks got there, and she had panned out to see the rest of the room, and you could see Peter and myself in the back. And then I noticed what she was doing, so I just started waving, and I started dancing, and you could hear her, like, chuckling in the background. She's like, oh, my God. Like, yeah. Can't take him anywhere.
Yeah. I still think they need to go back to the 8:30. I know we shifted back for the holiday one, but.
Yeah, I think
that was rough.
I think they did that just because of the kids.
Yeah. Okay. Versus schools.
Yeah, because they had to get back to school. I think that's what they said. But supposedly,
yeah, they had to be there at 6:45 to start setting up, and
but supposedly,
they got first period free, so we had to be to school by 8:45.
They're supposed to go back to the 8:30 schedule, which I approve.
So not taking out of school, just adding to it.
Yeah,
missed just enough to terribly inconvenient to go back.
It was the same for work.
It's like you just really hope that test is in first period.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, I got a band commitment. We'll have to do that later.
But both bands did really well.
They did.
One did seem a little more overkill than the other. I don't know.
But there was just five of them, and they still did that, so.
It's I think if you'd had a quintet just sitting there playing, you would never have even noticed, you know, the volume of music that you might be missing. Yeah. But going back and forth, because each side played a song, then the other side played a song, you know, and went back and forth. So, and I know a lot of the kids that I've coached, a bunch of them in baseball that play, you know, for the Sevier brass section. And, you know, those are really good kids. Isaiah Bolden plays for them. And he and his dad are some of my favorite guys that I've ever gotten to experience out on the baseball field. So they'll all be playing at DB eventually. And, you know, they'll sound good.
Yeah. So it was great. I just wish there was
I wish I was awake enough to remember.
I just wish there was a main breakfast course. That's all. I don't think it's too much to ask.
Well, at least you guys got silverware. All the kids come off and they were like, you can grab some breakfast. And they went through the line. But all the silverware was out at the tables. So there was nothing up by the actual buffet.
Yeah.
So and then the kids were supposed to take it back out into the lobby, you know, so that they could eat.
And at the
kiddies table. And they all sat down with these eggs and they were like, we're just supposed to eat them with our hands.
Yeah, I was wondering why you walked out with a handful of eggs. But yeah, that makes sense now.
So we figured that out eventually.
Well, we also got to enjoy some of Seattle's best.
Oh my gosh. If that's coffee. Seattle's best coffee,
it's like really
Seattle.
I feel
Seattle. Bad for all of them.
Really, yeah, Seattle, this is the best you can produce.
And they didn't give us enough creamer to mask how awful the coffee was.
So it was extra burnt water.
It was maybe underburnt. I don't know.
I have been to Seattle a couple of times. I don't think what we had this morning was Seattle's best.
Just false advertising.
They're probably thinking, they're so far east, they won't know any difference. We'll just ship this out there. It's okay. It's all this back order crap.
Well, you're allowed to false advertise. So
it's true.
I'm sure marketing was involved. Yeah.
Well, did you see, there was actually, and we haven't talked about this, but there was just a case about false advertising. I don't know if you all remember, but there was a Pepsi points commercial back in the 90s where if you got X number of points, as a joke, they were like, if you get 30 million Pepsi points, you can get a Navy jet. And a guy sued Pepsi to get his jet because he accumulated enough points, and he lost. But
and has diabetes now, I'm sure.
Probably. But yeah. But yeah, he had accumulated enough points. And there's a commercial, and it shows like a kid landing at a high school in like a Harrier-type jet. And, you know, he's like, well, I want my jet. You said I could have it.
I want my jet.
Yep.
I earned this.
Yep.
We have Thanksgiving next week.
Very thankful for everybody.
And I have forgotten about it several times. I'd forgotten about it until you walked in the room 20 minutes ago and said, oh, Thanksgiving. So we should probably talk about that. Since we're on the topic of
food,
of being disappointed with food, maybe this could redeem it. So I'm thinking, what would be your all's favorite Thanksgiving foods, dishes, desserts? So Brian, why don't you get us started? What is your favorite Thanksgiving meal?
I mean, obviously, like, I love the turkey and the dressing and stuff.
I'm not a huge turkey fan.
I'm not a big turkey fan either. I could have all the sides.
It's just,
all right.
I eat a bunch, I pass out, I wake up, I'm fairly happy. That's about Thanksgiving for me.
Okay, yeah. Let's do that. Let's rewind. Brian, if you had to pick anything other than turkey, what would you pick for your favorite Thanksgiving food?
I'd have to say mashed potatoes, but only if my wife makes them. I came home the other day and she had five different bowls laid out and they were all different types of mashed potatoes that she was testing out for. And I tried each one and I was like, no notes. You just get to choose whichever one you like.
Did you eat the one with poison in it?
If one of them had poison in it, then yes, I had them all.
So mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter.
I'm really partial to stuffing. Now, and I'm not a stovetop stuffing. Like, I like stuff the bird with bread that's been chopped up, minced, you know, celery, onions, the whole thing, tons of butter. And we've got kind of a family recipe that we've always used. And it's so good, even days after, like, cold out of the fridge, I'll just pull it out and eat it. I'm a big stuffing is probably my number one.
I'd say it's required for the turkey for me.
Yeah.
Stuffing or dressing, however people call it or make it.
Those are interchangeable, right?
I hope so.
The same thing?
That's the
stuffing,
way I use them.
Dressing?
I guess so. Yeah. I always just
not
go
dressing
stuffing.
Like ranch you put on your salad.
Right.
But like,
well, the dressings, I guess, could fall into the gravy department. Sometimes okay. It's interchangeable with stuffing, but
I'm using it in like stuffing.
Stuffing.
Yeah.
Like the little squares.
No. I mean, I guess that they, I don't know.
Oh, you mean know. You mean like you get yeah, it out of a bowl.
Get it out of a bowl or yeah.
So it's the same thing, it's just whatever. You can put it, you can shape it though and yeah. bake it.
You can bake it, you right. can do it on the stovetop.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not good, but you can. But you yeah. stuff the bird, you cook it with the bird, it's, yeah.
Josh is delaying. What's yours?
Yeah, well, so I'm trying to think of something different. I like mashed potatoes. Stuffing's great. I'm not a, I, let me rephrase this. I didn't mean to come down so hard on turkey. Because I enjoy
it. He wanted to take turkey.
I enjoy it.
He was just upset because that's all he came up with.
I enjoy it, but I don't go crazy over it. I prefer ham over turkey, and I think I'm macaroni all the way.
I like macaroni.
Mm.
Like macaroni and cheese or macaroni salad with mayonnaise? Types
with
of.
Cheese. With cheese, but the other's good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
For sure.
Now, I will say my guilty pleasure of Thanksgiving is the canned cranberry, like
oh,
gel.
Gosh,
I know most people don't
you?
Like that, but that's like a growing up favorite.
I was
going
to try to make it through this whole Thanksgiving segment without talking about canned cranberry.
Oh, it's so good.
It's pretty good. I like it. I'll
it's
eat
the
it.
Thing that's always there. For Thanksgiving dinner that no one touches.
And always there after
yeah,
Thanksgiving
no one
dinner.
Touches it. And it still and it comes out in this blob, and it's still like got the imprint,
imprint
of the can.
Of the can. Yeah, that's the best yeah. part. You know where to cut it.
Yeah.
Those without... aren't cutting lines.
they're most certainly cutting lines. And if you get the two ends, they're thicker than all the middle cutting lines.
I do like to eat sweet potato casserole.
Yeah.
But I eat it as
with
my
marshmallows?
I eat it as my dessert, yeah. though, because yep. all the folks in my family fix it really sweet, so there's all kinds of sweetness on it. But I can't eat that with my main meal. It seems like a dessert to me.
I like any pie for dessert, whatever the pie is.
Any?
Any pie.
Well,
I can't. I'm
have
not,
some humble pie. And then we'll, people, no, I agree with you. Pies in general,
pies
cherry.
Are good. Yeah.
Pumpkin for me is the favorite.
Yeah,
but,
with
pumpkin's
a ton
good.
Of Cool Whip, right?
I just like it cold. I don't necessarily okay. need, like, I don't like a warm pumpkin pie. Some people do for whatever no. reason. But I like a really cold pumpkin pie, whether it has the whipped cream or not, or Cool
Brian,
Whip or whatever.
Do you like meat pie?
Like pizza?
Meat pie.
Minced meat pie.
Minced meat pie. Like sure. Sweeney Todd style.
Yeah.
I was trying to explain to Henry chicken pot pie the other day, because we ate those growing up all the time, the frozen chicken pot
yeah.
pies, and mm-hmm. he was like, that sounds awful.
I was like, and you're like, it was.
It probably was, but we ate a lot of it, and you get used to it.
Yeah, same.
Kind of like Salisbury steak, you know.
And you get we got those cheap ones that had some chicken in it, but you, like,
yeah,
you know, you really
not.
Had to search for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. This is going to come out. What, 2 days before?
2 days before, yeah.
We would sing a Thanksgiving song, but I feel like the only one I know is like the Adam Sandler Thanksgiving song, so we probably shouldn't sing that one.
Well, I'll give a shout out to Dolly again. We'll see if we can. So Dolly and Jimmy Fallon just released a new song. It's Almost Too Early for Christmas. And so it references that. We're still trick-or-treating and have Thanksgiving and all this, that, and the
other.
Oh, that's
cool.
So, yeah. Well, that's going to be my official Thanksgiving song this year.
I really wish people would honor the holidays. I feel like Thanksgiving's just getting a bad rap. It's getting erased.
It's not going to be long before Halloween's, you know, erased by it seems.
Just when you finish Halloween and you go set up your Christmas tree, I think that's something you need to talk to a professional about. There's something deeper going on there than you just wanting some Christmas spirit. You need to talk to
someone. There
may
be some seasonal depression in there. We normally set up our tree right after Thanksgiving.
Right, because you're a normal human being.
This year, Kate wanted to put it up early, so we put it up early.
Oh, my.
No ornaments or anything yet, but the tree is up.
Call her, and I'll put her on speakerphone right now.
It's just like having a house plant, right?
Yeah. Well, but we without killed the ornaments, those, so, yeah. Yeah.
This, at least this one came dead. Yeah.
We normally don't take call-ins, but we're going to go live on this one. I've been wanting to use the little bleep button thing for explicit content, and I've not had to. This could be our chance.
Yeah, it's a thing now, you know. But we'll get into all the Christmas holidays. But the boys all want the tree to go up because we've always had a tradition in our family where we do Christmas tree toppers. So it's a stuffed animal that they get when the tree comes down. So the earlier the tree goes up, the earlier they see what their last Christmas present would be.
That's cool.
And so that came out of Kate's family where she was always sad to take it down. And then her mom figured out, well, if there's a prize at the end of this, you know, I can get it down a little bit earlier.
Incentives help everything.
Oh, absolutely. Hmm. So
that's I'm going to steal that.
It's good.
Yeah, I like that.
I will tell you, there are years when your kids are young when they don't understand why they can't have the lovey that they want that's staring them in the face all of December. And so if your cats don't take down your Christmas tree, your toddler might.
But we haven't had a Christmas tree in 2 years because of the cat. Yeah. It's wild. We've tried spraying it with, like, orange-flavored stuff to keep the cat off it. It's awful.
There was a peel-and-stick vinyl Christmas tree that came out this year that I saw. You could throw that on the wall. Really confuse your cats. They could jump straight into the wall.
Like a fat head?
Yes, like a fat head. And you just put it up against the wall, and then they've got the peel-and-stick ornaments to go on top of it, so you still have the illusion of decorating the tree. We commercialize everything, so.
That would have worked in, like, my tiny apartment where we didn't have enough room for
right,
a big
where you just have a wall that you can use.
Or you could just be a man and have dogs and get rid of your cats.
Both. It's wild watching them together. But yeah, we have both.
We will eventually. We've got cats right now, but it's been a little while since we've had a dog. But as soon as we finish some of our construction stuff around the house, we're probably down that road of getting a dog.
You brought this up last when your dog's birthday. My dog's birthday just passed. He turned 12 years old today.
Happy birthday!
Cue the happy birthday
song. Sorry, on the
9th.
On the 9th, yeah. So,
what'd you do?
Falsy Fallsborn, Falsdemus Prom, all the ones you came with. Fallshorn Leghorn.
Fozzalicious.
The Foz.
Yeah, the Foz. Hey.
So he would be then, what is that?
It's really Fozzy in 84
here. 84 years old in dog years?
Is it like seven?
Seven. But, you know.
But it changes, like, earlier on. They mature faster or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's up there. He's doing better than I am going to be at 84. So.
Here we go.
It's like you come into my office and be like, man, my back and leg is killing me. It's like, what did you do? I don't
slept.
Know. I slept wrong.
Yeah.
Well, you said something there that sparked my brain. What'd you say?
So that's an achievement on my part.
So
isn't it?
I guess I didn't want to talk about this, and I've been conflicted about it, but I guess we're going to have to because I feel like I'm going to get outvoted at this table. But evidently, NASA's doing some spaceship thing called Optimus Prime, or what's it called?
Artemis.
Artemis Prime.
Yeah, no, Artemis.
Artemis 1.
One.
So Artemis.
Artemis Prime would have been cooler. Just
Artemis
NASA.
Is the twin sister of Apollo, so that's where the name is coming from.
Well, those.
And we're going back to the moon.
Which
so
was
the
Apollo 17.
Is that the one Tom Hanks was in?
That's
13.
Yeah. Houston, we have a problem. Yep. It's a great movie.
No, me and Josh have been debating this ever since they launched.
Yeah, it got a little heated in here one day. I had to tell Brian to leave or I was going to cut his throat.
It's exciting. We're going back to the moon. We haven't been since 72, so none of us were alive when we went. I guess we'll finally prove that it wasn't faked. But the first
people
mission
will still think it was.
Yeah, there's three missions in a row. And
so there's one this year, or that just happened, one in 2024, and one that they're planning on doing in 2025.
Right.
and they're going to become progressively more and more complex as they go. So this is like a flyby, just testing out their systems, making sure it works.
It's up there now. It launched, and the solar panels that are powering it have been sent out, and they're just going to – it's about a 50-day mission. So it takes 9 days to get to the moon.
Was it 50 or 25?
I think it was 50.
I think they're coming back on the 23rd.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going out there. Yeah. They've got to orbit Earth once or twice and then use that to project themselves towards the moon. They'll orbit the moon and then come on back. Unmanned this time. Yeah. So
the next one will be manned, and then the Artemis 3 in 2025, they're actually going to land on the moon.
Right.
And I think there's a couple of them that are going to be living on the moon for a week. So that's pretty cool. And all of this is really just building up for future missions, too, getting to Mars.
Nothing, Josh.
It's really
interesting. This is what it feels like when you talk about sport.
No. I'm torn on this. Yes, I will agree. This is really cool. It is really cool. I have a hard time wrapping my head around the cost associated with it and the purpose.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So
it seems like a lot of money for something cool.
But to put it into perspective, according to the economic impact report that NASA put out, NASA generated $71.2 billion in economic output. That's $340 million in Tennessee and $9 million in Nebraska for Chris.
Go Huskers.
Can drill a few wells with $9
million. Yeah. But it creates jobs. The biggest part of it, and I think the most interesting part, is the technology that comes from it and all of the NASA missions. Anytime humanity strives for something as complex as space travel, they've got to create technology that's then able to be adapted to other industries.
It really is amazing. If we think about, the last time we went to the moon, they had less technology than we carry around in our pocket in our iPhones and Galaxy Edges or whatever they are.
Yeah, and I guess that's why I'm not impressed. Like, it's not a...
We made it back.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But you want to test out stuff to get further on and impress you.
No, because I'm thinking like you're thinking. The last time they did that, I mean, ages ago, I feel like now... It was just sending something up with no people in it to go around the moon doesn't really impress me. I feel like we need to be...
I think it's a stepping stone. I really do.
Yeah.
You know,
if that was it, I'd be the same. But I think it's important to do the steps to do it correctly.
Yeah. I do think that they need to get Gary Sinise to narrate the mission. You know, space travel, it's one of those things, too, that... It's been really fun with the boys. I don't know if you've had this experience with Nolan. Like, you can see the spark in their eye when you talk about, well, they're going to the moon. Right. You know, and
Nolan had it, but Josh just slashed it immediately. Yeah.
I am not a wet blanket on this topic with my child.
Yeah. But
I'm only a wet blanket on it with you all.
So you never know what great scientist is going to have their imagination sparked. You know, so we've got the Neil deGrasse Tyson type people and everybody else, who was sparked by Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's also part of it, that one of these days somebody way smarter than we are will be able to, who knows, guess even further out. And we're still getting, the space program, we're still getting messages back from like the Voyager spacecrafts and things like that, which have long since left our solar system.
And I was listening today. They've looked back. The furthest in, space that they've looked, but it's essentially time, too, because of how all of that works, and saw two of the youngest galaxies that they've ever done, and it just completely blew up how some of them perceived early galaxies to be. So now all these scientists get to recreate theories.
Well, we just launched the new telescope, the James Webb, and the images coming back from that. Yeah, they're changing our understanding of how the world works.
It's inconceivable how much is out there. It's wild.
No UFOs on those pictures flying by.
Is it flying in space? Or are you just kind of...
Yes, it's flying. We're flying. I'm flying an X-Wing. I'm flying a spaceship.
Is Earth flying? Sorry.
But I just need someone to tell me the purpose. Other than it's cool, I need someone to tell me the purpose, and then I can probably wrap my head around it.
Well,
and no one can seem to tell me the purpose.
It depends on what minerals and stuff that we're eventually able to find there. So maybe we find our next supply of rare earth minerals, so we have more lithium
for
batteries.
Like exfoliating and
minerals. The ones that power our cars and our phones and those.
But if you can increase the amount of resources that's going to available to humans, that's going to affect the finance and economic field insanely.
Yeah. I mean, and you look at, you know, one of the big things that there's been a push for lately, right, is to lessen our dependence on China because of rare earth minerals and things like that. So if you're first to access them on the moon –
or asteroids as they go by, or whatever.
Or whatever it is, yeah. I'm still waiting for us to set up deep space. Or not deep space, deep sea.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Like the movie The Abyss and things like that. You know, we can drill down there.
I watched The Meg the other day. You don't want to do that. There's a giant megalodon underneath.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're saying right now. What's a megalodon?
It was a bigger shark than the great white.
Is that like Optimus Prime?
Yeah, it's Jaws Prime.
Yeah, Jaws Prime.
Okay.
Suppose it, like, you'll see every now and again these huge teeth that wash up on the beach.
Like,
and
big, then, as big as your hand, even bigger. Yeah.
And they're like, they had to come from somewhere, so the prevailing theory is that there was a megalodon, or maybe still is in the super deep parts of the sea, that is generating these type teeth. And it would have been, based on the size of the tooth, significantly bigger than the biggest great white.
I bet it is hard to find full skeletal remains of fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just sinks to the bottom.
Yeah.
But who knows? So they make movies out of that type of stuff. It's kind of like, you know, we'll probably figure it out down the road, you know, where we figured out that dinosaurs probably had feathers, you know, but that's not what we picture them as now. So, you know.
Thanks, Jurassic Park.
Yeah, Jurassic Park completely shaped how we were going to decide what dinosaurs look like. So it's exciting. Anytime we take big steps forward in science, it leads to good things.
Yeah.
It does have an upfront cost that we may not know the benefit from.
And
for
decades. And there might not be one, but if you don't look for them, then you're never going to, you know, move past where we are.
Do y'all think UFOs are real?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, I'm on the fence about that. I can tell you one thing that I know for sure that is not real, without a shadow of a doubt. I would bet my entire life on it. There is no Bigfoot.
But they are the best shows, Finding Bigfoot.
There are all of these shows. There's f***ing towns that are posted up with souvenirs and hunts and expeditions going. And it's just, and all of these stories, you've got hundreds and thousands of these. So I saw Bigfoot, yet no one is like taking a picture. No, if I see a Bigfoot, I'm shooting it. I don't even care if I go to jail. I'm shooting it because I'm going to end this debate once and for all. But I can't because there's no Bigfoot.
It's like the Loch Ness Monster. They've went over the whole lake or Ness.
Well, but think about the amount of money that's been generated by those rumors.
Oh, yeah.
I believe in UFOs in the sense that I believe that we're not alone.
Yeah.
And so then the question is, have they visited us? Probably. Or I kind of like the theory lately that we may be the most advanced and people are waiting on us to visit them. But
I don't know. Like, I always think, I figure, like everything else, we're probably middle of the pack. Was it more stars in our galaxy than grains of sand on Earth?
Yeah,
and there's
like
more
that.
Galaxies than that.
Yeah.
So, if all of this it's just us here, then we either need to be exploring or that's just nonsense.
Well, it's the line out of the movie Contact with Jodie Foster. It's an awful big waste of space.
It is not a waste of space. And beautiful things to see and interesting stuff that's just...
No. It's out there. The truth is out there. Now, there's a good show.
Yeah.
X-Files.
X-Files. Didn't they reboot it recently?
They did movies.
Okay.
I am more prone. I would be more... on Team UFO than I would be Team Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that. If there is anyone that thinks that Bigfoot is truly real, please email us at connect@afiadvisors.com because I want to talk to you
while we watch Harry and the Hendersons
directly. I remember that movie.
It's such a good movie. I made Henry watch it. I don't know. It was a couple years ago. He was like, "What are we watching?" This is my childhood. This is what we're watching.
I remember watching it a little while back ago.
It was in that one.
And
that's my type, Bigfoot.
It was strange. It was a lot different than I remember it. I guess. Let me say it that
so
way.
So many movies from when we're kids are different. Like, I went back and watched The Goonies.
I didn't realize how much they cussed until I rewatched The Goonies.
Back to the Future has so many cuss words in it. Yeah. I thought, here's a good safe movie to show my boys. But we also got used to the TNT version and the TBS versions of these movies. But when you go back and pull out, like, the actual, you know, theatrical cut, they are... PG-13 back then was not what PG-13 is now.
I love how cable replaces profanities with the most... you have, like, prison gangs that are like... That's fluffy.
That's fluffed up.
Yeah, that's fluffed up right there.
Yep.
Okay, well, we've reached the end of our show here, but I just want to do a quick recap to make sure I'm on the same page as all of you all. So starting all the way through, we've got there needs to be biscuit and gravies at chamber breakfasts. Correct? Correct. There's...
No voting would happen there.
What else did we talk about?
Thanksgiving.
The cranberry sauce is weird, but we all like macaroni, stuffing, and mashed potatoes.
Yep.
NASA's wasting a lot of our money on Optimus Prime.
Not sure
again,
that's what we said.
Again, not the best recap.
Bigfoot is fake. UFOs are probably real. And don't watch Back to the Future with your kids. Is that
Sounds
it
right.
in a nutshell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of that was a little off, but yeah.
And the stock market's doing all right now.
The stock market's doing all right. If you have questions, let us know.
When we're talking about this, you know it's been a good day.
Yeah, if we could just not talk about
a good week.
Yeah, we're trying not to talk about it so that it doesn't decide that we're watching and go back the other way.
I want everyone to email us and let us know your thoughts on this. Are you team NASA or are you team wasting money? Are you team Bigfoot or are you team this is ridiculous?
Team cranberry.
Oh, there's no such thing.
We just
Peter
to
would,
one.
Peter would be on an island.
I normally am, so it's fine.
Eating his cranberry cans.
He'd be like Tom Hanks on, what was that? Castaway.
Castaway.
He'd be out there with his little cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I was going to say, instead of a soccer ball or volleyball. What would you name your cranberry can?
Oh, that's a good question. Cranny.
Cranny. Fozzie.
Fozzie.
Oh, and you're your dog. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I missed that in the recap.
Yeah.
Dang it. We'll have to erase that and edit it. But we hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving. This was fun. We enjoyed it. But yeah, send in any questions, comments, concerns, snide remarks to connect@afiadvisors.com. Be sure to go follow us on all of our social media channels. And until next time, we will catch you later. See ya.
See ya.